Okay, let's give it the old college try, I guess. So, anyway, I feel like I should re-say what I was saying earlier. Reggie, happy
Okay.
pre-birthday, and for the both of you, happy pre-anniversary.
Get a clean take.
I'm sorry?
I said just get a clean take.
Happy birthday, Reggie, and congratulations on your coming anniversary.
Oh, well, thank you, man. Yeah, on the 29th, I become eternal.
Now, Reggie, you've been working with Don Coscarelli since about 1976. Is that correct?
Yeah, I missed it. Yeah. Before that, I think we worked on the first picture I did with him was Jim the World's Greatest, and that was in 72-73, somewhere in there. And then the next picture was Kenny and Company. I think that might have been around mid-70s, later 70s, in there.
How did you end up like teaming up with Don? I mean, it seems like he has a very well. It seems like a collaborative effort. You know, everybody who's on the crew, who's part of the cast, everybody does a little bit of everything. So, how did you and Don end up teaming up?
Well, it was really kind of weird, because I was in some live theater in Long Beach, and I was going to Long Beach City College at the time. I had just gone back to take some more theater classes, and so we did a series of one acts. There, I think there was four of them, and I was in most of them. And one of them that I was in that really, Don happened to be there because he lives in Long Beach as well, and he happened to be there to see the play. And the one that impressed him, the character that impressed him the most was a gay guy that I played, who answers an ad in the newspaper for a roommate, and the guy who put the ad in the paper is straight, and I was a flamer. I mean, I was just out there, and I end up prancing around the stage in like pink panties. You can picture that. I kind of hurt, but. Anyway, that he saw me, and he had his partner Paul Pepperman, co-producer, call me and meet with me, and from there we just started making movies.
So the only reason that you couldn't hear me laughing is actually that I started giggling so much I was afraid it was going to ruin the audio. And of course, up next is Phantasm, which changed the horror landscape for forever. What attracted you to the role of the ice cream man slash, you know, combater of evil, your namesake, Reggie Bannister?
Yeah, well, I liked the idea. When I was a kid, growing up in Long Beach, California, that we used to have ice cream trucks that would come through the neighborhood and with their little tunes, wafting through the air. And all the kids would run out of the houses, try and grab some money from somewhere and buy ice cream. And so that was kind of the, I think, Don did that as well when he was a kid. He used to, and the ice cream man was always the guy you really wanted to see because you wanted the ice cream, So I just thought it was a cool character. I thought everybody would be able to relate to him, and because they like ice cream. So that's kind of the way it happened. And that's the way it's always been with between Don and I. We get ideas and then just develop them. And he writes scripts, and he allows me to really jam on my characters, which is a lot of fun. It's like music, you know. It's like jamming with some really good players. And it's always been that way, and I've always really enjoyed it.
Now, as a Phantasm fan, I remember when my father first showed me the first movie, I think I was 10 or 11 or something like that, and I thought it was so astonishingly strange that in the middle of a fight against the Tall Man and true evil and this dreamlike nightmare escape, suddenly our hero is pulling out a guitar and he's rocking out a little bit. Was that you or was that Don?
I have one check. The guitar thing. That was another thing that Don dug. He liked my music, and so he every chance he can get when we do something together, he tries to find some place where I can play a little bit, and with Reggie. It became part of his character, really, the guitar stuff, and something that he really enjoyed doing with his friends, like when I'm sitting with Bill Thornberry on the porch, and we're playing Bill's song, Sitting Here at Midnight, and I just I've just always enjoyed being able to do that, and Don has always liked it, so it's been good.
What's amazing to me is that...
You did the composition of it?
What?
Of the nine notes? No, I'm sorry, not the nine notes, but the Sitting Here at Midnight.
Have you seen it?
Sitting Here at Midnight.
Oh, Sitting Here at Midnight. I worked out the...
The arrangement.
The arrangement, yeah.
And Bill did the opening, right? He
basically wrote the song, but I helped him arrange it, and I did the instrumental.
Right.
Yeah.
It was still hot as well.
What's astonishing to me, and I don't know if this is the allure of Reggie, or if it's the weirdness, the inherent weirdness of the Phantasm movies, but I don't think that would work in a different movie, the hero pulling out an acoustic guitar and just, going to town on it. I really don't. And I think it's absolutely fascinating where it feels completely in world, in character. Now, when I was talking to Don just a little while ago, he said that you are Reggie Bannister. I mean, obviously your name is Reggie Bannister, but that you're that character on the screen. Is that true? How accurate is Don being here?
It really...
Yes, his ice cream melts all over the place.
It really is, pretty true. I don't know. It's just, like I said, it was, between Don and I, we developed that character and several of the other characters. And storylines. Don, like I said, is very open to suggestions. And he trusts people that he enjoys, having creative experiences with. So it's really we sort of kind of write it as we go,
nice.
It's like I said, it's like jamming, and it's really fun because when I'm working with the other characters. In the story, and this is all the other characters, not just Mike and Jody or Bill Thornberry. And it's just a lot of fun working on Don's movies because of that, because it's such a creative experience.
So I would assume that Phantasm fans, I would assume, and I realize that making any kind of assumption, especially given how difficult it was just to get the stupid technology working today, but I would assume that a lot of Phantasm fans know that, you play music in real life. When did that start?
Let's put it this way. I before I picked up a guitar, I sang. And I loved singing. As a matter of fact, my folks took me to, there was a mall, a small shopping mall that opened right around the corner from our house. And there was a store called Anthony's, and it was like a clothing store, and, you know, a little bit of everything. There was a guy that used to be on TV on the weekends, had a kids show, and his name was Walkin' Charlie Aldrich, and his whole thing was kind of this cowboy southern kind of deal going on, but it was a kids show, and he'd play cartoons, so I would watch him like every weekend when I was a little kid, and he appeared at the opening of this store, this new store at Anthony's. And my folks took me over there, and he was there. He was broadcasting from there. He was recording the show, and I was just kind of standing. There was, you know, people standing around him, watching him as he did his thing. And he looked over at me, and he kind of went, "Oh, little boy, what do you do?" I don't know why he said that to me, but little boy, what do you do? And I said, I sing. And he goes, oh, okay, well, let's hear, what's your name? Reggie. And he says, well, let's hear Reggie sing. And he looked at my mom like, is it okay if I pick him up? And she kind of nodded her head like, yes. And so he picked me up and he put me on the counter, this big glass counter at the store. And he said, what are you going to sing? And I told him, if I'd have known you was coming, I'd have baked a cake. I don't know if you remember that song, but... he goes, okay, sing it. And I sang the song. And everybody was kind of wowed at it. And, you know, that's... I've been doing this stuff ever since I can remember. and you know, then I got into theater arts. We had a community theater in Long Beach. And so I got into some acting there. I was also in the Young Americans. Did some singing. By then I was playing guitar. And so I did some guitar stuff with the Young Americans, and kind of formed a duo out of that group with another guy who also played guitar. And so we just, you know, I've just, like, I've been doing this forever, so it just made sense. And I was in a group that was pretty popular called the Greenwood County Singers, and that was when big folk groups were really happening. Mamas and Papas, and there was another one. I forget the name of it, but yeah. And then we did a lot. We did some TV. We were on with the Bing Crosby Show, and we were on the Hollywood Palace with George.
Burns.
Yeah, George Burns. And yeah, so it's, you know, I've been doing this a long time.
That is so freaking cool. So since you and Reggie sort of one and the same, there's a lot of that attitude there. Obviously, that character would be unrecognizable to think of a Reggie Bannister without Reggie Bannister. And what was sort of, you know, my wife and I finished up the series earlier in the week. We binge-watched all of the Phantasm movies ahead of these interviews, and my wife loves them. She loves them, and we're hoping to screen a bunch of them again for our friends. We like to do movie nights and stuff. But one of the things that we found so entertaining is the... And I don't mean to say this, you know, in a crude way, but Reggie is a very, very horny guy in the movies. Where Whose idea was that? Because it's so bizarre.
Well, you know, what we're talking about right now, and the way we're having this conversation, is really like Phantasm. I mean, really, Don just took, like regular guys, and put them in, fantastic scenes. All of a sudden there's this tall man, and there's these little guys running around that you got to be careful of, in hoods and stuff, and we're just like three guys, and there's balls. We've got balls all over the place, and I got balled up against a wall, if you recall. Hot rods, shotguns. I mean, yeah, okay, how can you beat that? You throw that all in a big bowl and dump it out, and everybody's going to want to see it, So it's been a lot of fun to be able to be a part of that, that neat everyman. That's true. Every man's man. He's so easy to, Reggie is so easy to relate to in the story, and so are his friends, Mike and Jody. And you just, all of a sudden, you're there with him in this crazy world of Phantasm. And I think that's why people really enjoy it.
And so to backtrack just a little bit, do you have any music projects you're working on now? Or are you still actively recording albums?
No, I haven't been playing a lot of music just around the house, actually. Fooling around a little bit.
We're trying to put an album together of when he played at the West Coast Bodega, and there were some recordings that were made back then, reel-to-reel recordings. And so they actually were converted to MP4s, MP3s? Yeah, before the tape disintegrated. And so we put them together with a friend of ours, and so we're actually trying to get the funds together to compile an album of Reggie Bannister live at the West Coast Bodega. And that was back in the 80s, is that right?
Yeah.
I design all of our albums, and we produce our albums through Yeah Doggy Music, our label. So it'll include some really cool photos from that era. And I'm always all about the fans. You can't say Phantasm without saying fan, right? So we're going to have some really cool stuff for the fans once I get that put together.
That is awesome. I hope you guys, obviously, I'll be linking out to a lot of the stuff that you guys are working on, as long as you don't mind. So, I would like to include links to your label and to Reggie's music and all that kind of stuff, especially if I can find any of it, like, on YouTube or something. We can embed those suckers into the story for online.
Yeah, there's actually a really cool video, a YouTube video of Reggie and Bill Thornberry playing Sitting Here Till Midnight, as a matter of fact. So,
that has to go in there for sure.
Yeah, I'll send you the link.
That would be absolutely wonderful. But one of the things that Don had sort of hinted at or sort of mused about, and I'm not entirely sure if this was just me and Don, shooting the shit, or if he was really interested in it, but he sort of floated the idea of Phantasm being revisited at some point in the future, maybe not necessarily with him, because he gave up the director's chair for the fifth film, but Reggie, would you have any interest in reprising that role?
If John feels like he wants to do it, I'd love to do it. I don't think John would let that out of his hands, to be honest with you. The closest we came was with Dave Hartman on Phantasm Ravager, and JJ, he's a big Phantasm fan, JJ Abrams, and he kind of fooled around with the idea of doing a sequel or another, picture. We'll see, if anything happens. It does. If it doesn't, well, we've done 5 of them, so I don't think that's too bad.
Well, I mean, I'm, and my wife now as well, since she has newly become a fan, we're always hungry. Phantasm fans are always hungry for more Phantasm, so.
Yeah.
But
when we wrapped Phantasm 5, Reggie and I had talked that, we did a lot of green screen with Angus, and there is, the concept. I mean, it is feasible. Plus, Don is a hoard. He loves to hoard film, clips and raw footage and like that, as you know, if you've read anything about him.
Oh, yeah.
He's a smart man that way, that little squirrel, that 6-foot whatever squirrel. And he's brilliant that way. And so the concept that we could actually, with our technology, drop in, the tall man, and it would be a real performance. And then you have Reggie with a sort of like what they did with Mark Hamill. He comes in and he's revisited. He revisits the whole Star Wars thing. Well, the same thing could happen with Reggie becomes the sensei of the group, and you have a younger group that comes in, and you have Mike perhaps leading them. I mean, that's pretty much what was happening in Phantasm 5. Mike had his own group that he was leading, a new generation of fighters. And I don't know about you, but every fan I've talked to, they want them some more Chunk and Rocky, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And there was some jokes online. I think it was Phantasm, one of the Phantasm Facebooks. They were making Rocky Road or Rocky Chunky Rocky Roads or something. It was some kind of joke about that.
That is very nicely strange.
But we definitely want some Chunk and some Rocky in whatever's coming up in the future. And who's to say we could do some spin-offs,
Well, yeah, that would be very cool. But speaking of Ravager, speaking of 5, Reggie, how do you feel about, going out that way? I realize that in the Phantasm universe, everything is very dreamlike. There's no...
Did he?
Well, that's why I'm asking, it's presented as one kind of death, and then he hops in the car, and he's ready to go again.
How did you feel about going out that way? And I said, did he? So how did you feel about that?
Oh, well, you never know. You look at every phantasm, and anything can happen, you may not be going where you think we're dragging you to. Yeah, you may end up somewhere else. So I
Space Gate.
Yeah, it's like anything can happen. Things can be revisited way. So, you know, it's Phantasm.
You know, Angus was able to see, he was at the cast and crew screening, and he loved how it amalgamated. Did Don tell you the David Hartman story about David and Angus coming to the screening?
No, he did not, but please, I'd love to hear it.
Don tasked David with picking up Angus to bring him to the cast and crew screening. And, of course, David goes, "You're shitting me, right? I mean, it's like, really? You want me? I don't even know if he's going to like this. What if who's going to take him home again?" And so they come to the screening, and Angus had the flu. He was not happy, and he was not feeling well at all. Now, Angus is a very gracious man, and he did not like to get germs on people. So if he had a cold or anything, he wouldn't shake your hand. He wouldn't get near you. He would pretty much stay to himself, and I usually brought him, like, hot tea. Me and Shelley and Kathleen, we would bring him hot tea to keep him going, you know. And so so he and David, they ride to the screening, and it's a very tense ride for David. And he finally breaks the ice, and he goes, "So, are you eager to see the film?" And Angus, he goes, "Well, yes, you know." I'm really quite enthused. Do you think Don will be happy to see me? I fear he might not be happy to see me. He goes, "Of course, everybody is happy to see you. Of course we are." And then he goes, "Okay." He goes, "Well, are you going to want me to take you home?" And he goes, "Well, I guess that depends on how the film goes, isn't it?" So we go through the whole screening, and David is like sneaking peeks over at Angus the whole time, and Angus is like very stone faced, you know, of course. And then at the end of it, he comes out, and everybody's standing around and hugging, congratulating each other, and all this stuff. And David looks at him, and he goes, "Well," and Angus says, "Well, I guess I'll be needing a ride home, won't I?"
That's awesome. That is so great.
Yeah, he was very gracious about it, and he really loved the film. He was so happy to be able to see it, you know, in its completed form, and he was very pleased with, especially he said that. The scenes with Reggie, because it was the first time that he and Reggie actually got to confront each other, and Reggie can tell you about that.
Oh, yeah, yes, please,
really,
yes, please.
If you recall the scene, I'd say we were nose to nose, but he's so tall, more like it was, nose to chin. It's so great to see the Reggie character and the tall man that close to each other, challenging each other. I just love that scene.
And you had two scenes, the hospital scene,
the hospital
too.
Scene as
that
well.
Was very intense.
Yes, it was. Yeah. So it was, yeah, after all those years, I finally got scenes together with him.
Then there was, and in that hospital scene, you actually got Kat in the scene with you. There was you and Kat and Kat Lester and the tall man all together in a very intense scene, which
right.
became yeah. a very important crux of the story.
Right. Yeah. So, good.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed the film. So did my wife. And it was great. Obviously, it was great to see the entire cast back together, but it was... a particular thrill to see that Reggie wielding that four-barreled shotgun again.
He loved the four-barrel, seeing you have the four-barrel again.
The four-barrel, I mean, that was such a brilliant idea, a four-barrel shotgun. I mean, and, you know, it worked. It had two triggers, and one for two barrels and one for the other two, or you could pull it, you know, all at the same time, which I did a couple of times. it was just, you know, it was a really neat weapon. What a, you know, creative weapon.
Yeah, we just recently lost a cast crew member. He did a lot of stunts and things on all of Don's, quite a few of Don's films. That was Justin Zaharichuk. Like me and like many of our crew, he began as a fan. And he on Phantasm 4, he actually worked as assistant camera. And we were shooting 35mm on that. And with 35mm, you have to take measurements, you know, constantly to make sure the lighting is right. And we were out in the Alabama hills, between Death Valley and Lone Pine, and Reggie was on his mark, and there was a big dwarf scene where the dwarf he's leaning up against the hearse, and the dwarf is about to come down over on him, and he's got the forebear on. The forebear goes off and blows the dwarf away. And so they're getting ready to call hot set. They no sooner called hot set, and the cameraman asked for an adjustment or a final measurement, and they had already called hot set that he needed that measurement. And Justin went in, and that four barrel, somebody hit the it was one of the. I think the dwarf got into place or something, but something happened and the four barrel went off. And the blast of it went off near Justin's ear. And
ouch.
We shut the set down. We got him to the hospital, and it was like 45 miles away. And he, we thought he was going to go back to L.A., but he was such a fan. And such a trooper that he came back and made sure that he worked out the entire length of our shoot. And, you know, there was a lot of things like that that happened out there because, you know, it was out in the middle of nowhere. And so, you know, that four barrel is nothing. Anybody that thinks, oh, hey, why don't you bring the four barrel to, you know, a convention or something, it's, you know, no, it is a real weapon and a real gunsmith made it. And there's been a couple of actual gunsmiths who have made them, but they can't cross, you know, state lines with them. You know?
Right, yeah, that seems like it would be
so
a very bad idea.
Their state, you know, and appear in their state at a convention, they really can't necessarily bring them to show them off. But they always name them the same. They call them the Reggie.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's kind of nice having a gun named after you, you know?
You've had a gun, a guitar.
Yeah.
All you need is an ice cream truck now.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, you've had some kids named after you, too.
There you go.
Boys and girls.
Oh, yeah? Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had a friend that named his daughter Regina. There's been some Reggies. Yep. And we've had some people tattoo Reggie's name on their body. Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
Can't say Phantasm without being fan.
No. So, Reggie, is there anything you're currently working on?
No, I've been
you're trying to do your documentary.
We're trying to put that together, a documentary. All these films and all these years, you know. Get some interviews with some cool folks, and Gigi will put that together. We've been kind of looking at that, and then we've got some appearances coming up, I think, in the next month or so.
We're supporting Don with his book tour. You know.
Oh, right, Don.
Kind of great. They just sold the Egyptian out. They did a free screening at the Egyptian coming up on September 30th, and that one yet again sold out. When it first appeared at the Egyptian, Bubba Hotep, when it first appeared at the Egyptian, it sold out the first screening, and they added a second one. They sold that one out. They could have sold out a third one, and they decided not to. But so we're going to be at that on September 30th, 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock. We're going to be signing autographs with Don, and then the screening is at 3.
Yeah, and it's at the Egyptian
theater in Hollywood.
Is there any chance you're coming to the Washington area?
If they book us, we will come.
Fair enough. Well, I got to tell you guys, Reggie, Gigi, thank you so, so very much as both a radio reporter and as a massive, massive fan of Phantasm.
Well, I love that your wife is a fan as well. How did you guys meet?
We met at work, actually. She is also a reporter, and things did what they tend to do when a young man and a young woman like each other. And I think I mentioned this in an email, and I was telling Don about it a little while ago. But she's from Egypt, and she moved here from
Egypt.
Ah, that's correct.
She moved here.
That's sort of how Gigi and I met. We met. Because of business, and I just, a friend of mine, Michael Berryman, who she had been booking for live appearances, called me one day, and he said, "Hey, you ought to get in touch with Gigi," and I said, "Oh, okay, well, give me your number, and I'll call her," because we're talking about doing some live appearances and stuff like that. To promote the film. And so I called her, and I invited her to a screening of, what was it, Phantasm? Three was three.
Yeah.
And we met there, and...
Well, he had no idea that when he called that I was a huge fan, and he goes, hi, my name's Reggie Bannister, and I'm like, yes, I'm familiar with your work.
Just a little bit.
And he's like, "Would you like to come to a screening?" I'm like, "Oh, yes, I would love that. Could I bring a guest?" "Yes, that'd be great." So me and Elizabeth Brooks from The Howling, who was my friend and also my client, we went down and we couldn't find him. We ran into Angus, who had a cold, who wouldn't shake my hand. Okay. So she goes, "Well, how are we going to find Reggie?" And I went, "Well, probably, the center of whatever biggest crowd we found." And sure enough, that's how we found the crowd. And we found him in the middle of it. So we went to shake hands, and I thought someone had reached in and grabbed my soul, and he thought I had a big stick up my ass, and proceeded to extract it over the years, and I proceeded to educate him about business of Hollywood, and what he didn't know was that I had a career before Phantasm, and I actually was a big fan when it came out, and I was like 19, but even before that, I started when I was 14, and I was a model, and I started out as doing trade shows and runways and like that, and car shows, and I was one of those models. And And I also raced cars.
Oh, wow, okay.
And one of which was a black 70 Dodge Challenger with a 440.
Nice.
And we called her Playtex because she would lift and separate. And so in 1979, when Phantasm came to Houston, I went to see Phantasm and really fell in love with it and thought the guy in the ice cream truck was really cute. And never imagined that years later, when Phantasm 2 came out, I had just missed working. I was working for Lou Wasserman's goddaughter at Universal Studios. And I had just left there, and that's when Phantasm 2 came out. And so I just missed getting to see him, meet him then. And then Phantasm 3 comes along, and he needs to promote Phantasm 3. And thank God for Michael Berryman. I don't think we'd have ever met.
That's wild.
So, who knew?
Yeah.
So it's been a very long, you know, career. And, you know, I started, my very first film was a horror film that needed lots of icky, nasty, goopy shit. And so when Don needed someone to work on four to do the icky, nasty, goopy shit, I was like, oh, I'm your Huckleberry.
That's fantastic.
So, you know, I'm really honored to be part of the family. And then Phantasm 5, I got to be, you know, worked my way up to be associate producer. Or actually, I was co-producer. Actually, yeah. And so that's that, and that's really something for a female in the franchise. And so, yay, us girls.
No, it's absolutely wonderful. I mean, I guess in keeping it with the family, so to speak, you know, before my wife and I, before my wife and I got married, I had a list, and that was the reason I was mentioning that she's Egyptian. So she wasn't exposed to a lot of the stuff that I was exposed to. So I have this,
sure.
I have this multi-page list of movies I need you to see and enjoy before we get married. And Phantasm was really it was basically number one. I think it went. It may have gone Evil Dead 2, The Thing, and then all the Phantasm movies. But there are five of them.
The Thing, and you have to. And not only must she like The Thing, she has to understand it.
Yes, but she did, and we have made some great strides in terms of her horror movie education, and she loves them all. So that's it.
I tell people that about Phantasm, it's like Phantasm is one of those movies, like 2001: Space Odyssey. And The Thing, and like Metropolis, it's one of those movies that it changes dependent upon when you see it, where you are in your life, and you see a different perspective on it when you see it at a different age, and what you've experienced in your life, and I think that's how I felt. Each time that I got to revisit the films with all the different screenings, being with Reggie and at the screenings and being a part of the family and everything, and it's really an excellent film genre study in and of itself, you know. And I think that's excellent that she has a great appreciation for the genre.
Oh, I mean, I don't think I could live with myself if I agreed to marry a woman who didn't.
Oh, so no.
That would have been bad news down the road, I'm certain.
Not acceptable.
Exactly. Well, again, I cannot thank you guys enough for both the work that you've done on a series of films that has certainly changed my life, my brother's life, basically my entire family's life. I mean, my father's the one who introduced me and my brother to all of this crazy stuff. So thank you, and from a very young age as well. Probably too young, but who knows. But I really just wanted to say, as a fan, thank you guys so much for everything you've done.
Well, thank you, Will. We really enjoyed talking to you.
Well, again, I can't say it enough. You can't say Phantasm without saying fan. You can't do it without you guys.
Well, if you keep doing it, we'll keep watching it, and hopefully there'll be more down the road.
Sure will.
All right, dude.
All right, you guys have a wonderful rest of your morning. I think it's still morning out there in California,
it is,
right?
Yeah, it's still
okay.
Is for a little while.
Thank you, Will.
All right, thank you guys so much. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.